Welcome to Cold Reads, episode 24. Cold Reads is a weekly podcast read by Nathaniel Tower. Each week, Nathaniel invites an author to send his or her wildest, funniest, most twisted story. Without reading the story ahead of time, Nathaniel records an audio version, trying to maintain his composure as the author takes the audience on a wild ride. Week 24 brings you Creating a Stink by Jill Hoffs. Jill Hoffs lives with her family and an ever-dwindling supply of Nutella in the north of England. She recently sniffed a pregnant skunk called Amy and loved that she smelled of pine resin and wilderness. Find Jill on Facebook or as @JillHoffs on Twitter. Email her a dirty joke at jillhoffs@hotmail.co.uk or leave a clean comment at jillhoffs.wordpress.com. Wild, a collection, including Creating a Stink, is out now from Pure Slush. Her nonfiction book about the Victorian Titanic will be published in January 2014 by Pen and Sword. Feel free to send her chocolate and you know what. Yeah, you know. Creating a Stink by Jill Hoffs. It's not like I was asking them to kill one for me. I wouldn't. I like whales. But as I made phone call after phone call, my little boy playing at my feet with bin lorries and bottle tops, I got the impression the people I was contacting thought there was something weird about this. I write, and even though I write a lot of fiction, sometimes several short stories a day, and spin tall tales at bedtime for my 4-year-old, it's important to me to base it all on reality. The most successful lies are those spun through with truth, especially when it comes to describing the basest of facts, the sensual details of physical reactions. If I'm writing about someone in a bakery, I want to know what it smells like. If the batter mix heating in the oven wafts a sickly, eggy sugar butter stink through the prep area, or if there's a charred stench from the drips and spatters burning on the bottom. I want to know if the more fashion-conscious in there have fringes flopping down over their faces when they're outside taking a break, hairnets off, bangs cut in just to hide the itchy red line left across their foreheads by the elastic. I want to know how long it takes to become sick of the taste of cake mix, to stop wanting to lick the spoon at the end of the batch or clean the bowls of icing with the tip of a tongue. I want to know if their hands are soft or stinging by the end of the day, if they've given up on pretty rings and manicures. I want to know it all. So now that I'm writing a book, my third, about a man stuck in and on the rotting corpse of a whale, I have a lot of questions. Yes, I know it will stink, but there is a whole palette of stench out there. I have to know more. A sperm whale has washed up, several days dead, on a golden stretch of sand in Skegness, a single day's travel away from my twitching nostrils. As I wipe my son's face after a particularly messy breakfast of French toast, my mind is full of whale. A train to Glasgow, then several connections in a taxi, and I'd be in sniffing distance. But I can't get childcare, and as my husband has started a new job and my sister's booked a haircut, this seemingly fated encounter of writer and whale just isn't going to happen. I consider, very briefly, taking my son with me, remember his boredom and agitation on the 50-minute journey to Glasgow, extrapolate this out to 15 hours, watch him happily playing with his toys, and decide against it. A couple of phone calls to bemused officials in the news desk of the local paper, and I discovered that the carcass has been shrouded in a yellow mountain of sand. They're waiting on a license to come through to let them tow it out to sea and get rid of it. Till then, it stinks and is drawing scavengers, so several tons of sand should help preserve their tourist trade. Do you know if anyone kept any scraps in a jar? No, I'm not aware of anyone doing that. Would anyone be able to collect me some? I'd pay for the postage and costs, or even just some of the sand it's leaked onto, the smelly bits. I just need to smell it. A pause. Well, let me see if someone can help you with this. It's a pass the parcel of bemusement and disbelief. Nobody owns up to keeping even the merest sliver of whale or spoonful of stinking sand. Nobody. Not a one. I find that very hard to believe. There's bound to be some school kid or antisocial neighbor with at least a little bit of the beast hidden in their mom's freezer. But not even a plea for help through the local newspaper produces fruit. Hi, I was wondering if you knew whether anyone collected any samples from the whale on the beach? What? Or if you could run an appeal for them on my behalf, just in case. Sure, of course. Why not? Let me just take some details. 2 months later, there's still not a word about it on their site. I could read what others have written, compose my own story using second or third hand olfactory experiences of smells long forgotten, but I'd much rather experience the stench of rotting whale flesh for myself. The corpse is soon dragged away, the tide sluicing the shore clean and allowing the locals to breathe deep once again, nothing but exhaust fumes and salt air on the wind. I give up on this particular perfect whale and start emailing my friends. Anybody know what a dead whale smells of? Anybody have a marine biologist friend who might have a sample in a fridge I could sniff? And eventually came the surprising response. Durian fruit. Durian fruit. None in the supermarkets or on the green grocer's stall. Some airlines ban them. Their smell is just too pungent. I wonder if they're ever imported here. Anybody know where I can get a hold of some durian fruit? That was Creating a Stink by Jill Hoffs. This concludes episode 24 of Cold Reads. I'll be back next week with another terrific story.